From the land of Grand Teton University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the ninth day of February 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. This morning, the United States Department of Agriculture updated its world agricultural supply and demand estimates to focus on a couple of things: U.S. exports for soybeans, corn ethanol production in the United States, and the size of the soybean crops in both Brazil and Argentina. We'll take a look at those with Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist, commodity market specialist from the U of I. And then as we finish out our time together, we'll discuss both the weather forecast, that with Mike Tenor of T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, and the cash grain market with Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds of Windsor, Illinois. All right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Don't forget to pick up your tickets for our big all-day ag outlook. That's the 7th day of March. You can do that online right now. The address there is willag.org, willag.org, or you can call this phone number. Call us at 800-898-1065.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this ninth day of February. A quick reminder that our all-day outlook is coming up on the 7th day of March. It's about a month away now. If you have not purchased your tickets yet, you can do that right now online at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org, or by calling this number, 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. Well, this morning, the United States Department of Agriculture released its monthly world agricultural supply and demand estimates. The changes look like this. The ending stocks number for corn dropped 35 million bushels to 2.32 billion. Soybeans were unchanged at 429 million. And wheat down 47 million bushels at 1.139 billion. Ending stocks on the global front finished like this. The corn change down 135 million bushels. Soybeans 71 million bushels lower. And wheat down 172 million bushels on the global front. Here to talk about those numbers and what happened in Chicago is Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting in Waco, Texas. Good morning to you, Dan. Hey, thanks for being with us. What do you think of USDA's figures this morning?
They again reminded everybody that we have an adequate supply on hand. In corn's case, maybe down a little bit. Wheat's case, maybe down a little bit. Soybeans, the USDA chose to leave that unchanged. With China back in the market for summer supplies of soybeans, I guess I'm a little surprised we didn't see a bump up in exports on beans, but maybe USDA hasn't got that wind of that yet. The market got wind of that yesterday, and that was the reason why we were up sharply yesterday. And I think that is really surprising in many ways that China is buying U.S. inventory for summer delivery. And I think today's correction here on both corn and soybeans was just basically a period of consolidation after yesterday's advance. However, with that said, we did post daily reversals to the downside. A lot of the technical indicators are overbought. So today's action would imply that the market might be ripe for a period of consolidation or maybe somewhat of a corrective decline. I don't look for anything deep unless tomorrow is sharply lower. We're still going to close higher for the week. And I think that says more than what today's moderate losses are. We'll have to see how much follow-through this reversal has. But I think there's plenty of end-user demand underneath this marketplace. I think the corn market is especially strong. Here a week ago or a week and a half ago when everybody was talking about a possible trade war with Mexico, I think every rail trader in the country sold as many trains as they could sell into Mexico before anything like that happens. So I think now your rail traders are all short cash corn. So I think that's going to provide some underlying support to the corn market. I just see an ethanol demand still remains fairly strong. So I don't see any collapse in prices. And I think the overall seasonal trend of moving higher, as it has basically since late summer, early fall, will continue, you know, as we go on into the spring months. With one word of caution, I do think there's a break somewhere in here, but my guess is more likely the last half of February, maybe a break into the WILL Outlook meeting. But I think that is going to be more of a break where farmers maybe part with some inventory just before spring, try to get it out, clean up so they get ready to go to the fields. And then also the market has to break to scare the farmer into selling. That's just the way the market works. But I do think that the market then is in good footing to resume a climb on into the early part of the growing season, and then we'll have to take one day at a time. That'll depend upon, you know, the spring weather pattern and whether or not we have any issues or whether we have an early planting or late planting, whatever you want to call it. But I think the seasonal trend still remains strong in here. And I guess I expect that to continue.
If we could get the break to come after the end of the month of February, so the producers could have a nice month for setting the crop insurance and then have a downturn through the WILL outlook that has signaled arbitrarily, I suppose, over the years, a time for a turn in the marketplace. That would be kind of nice, I think. You'll be up here, in fact, won't you, for the outlook? Yes?
Yes, I'm coming, but... I want to be bullish corn, so I'd just soon have the corn market break now and get a cheap insurance price so we keep those acres low. I don't want to give anybody any incentive to plant corn because I want to be bullish corn. And if the market does rally and give everybody a good insurance price, well, then that'll finish off the bull market for corn, because then you'll see that corn market buy acres away from beans as we go on into the spring months. So, but I have no say what the market's going to do. So I just sit there and watch it and try to follow the trend. And right now the trend is higher. So I think the corn market has to come to grips with that there is going to be a big drop off in corn acres. And if there is any kind of weather issues as we go down the road, that balance sheet can tighten very quickly. Soybeans, on the other hand, could get awfully sloppy, but we haven't got the crop raised yet. We haven't got it planted yet. And there's a lot of weather to go underneath the bridge between now and September 1st. So, I still want to be generally cautiously optimistic, at least late winter, early spring time period. Now, if we get into early planting, it'll be very difficult to hold the market up against early planting. And then I think you'd see the break then as you go on into June. And then I guess we'll twiddle our thumbs and see what kind of July and August weather we have.
Hey, thanks so much. Look forward to talking with you again next week, and we'll see you in March.
Very well.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, and will travel to Illinois for the all-day agricultural outlook in March. It's the seventh day. That's a Tuesday. We'll be at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. For $30, you can see Dan eat a Beef House lunch. Another dozen of our analysts will be there. We'll talk about farm policy with three of the University of Illinois gurus in that area, too. And it's all $30. Simple to get your tickets. Do it right now at 800-898-1065, or more easily and better for us, in fact, if you go online at willag.org. Scroll down until you see the rooster, and then you'll find a way to purchase your tickets again. That's online at willag.org or 800-898-1065. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. This morning, the United States Department of Agriculture released the monthly World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. Todd Hubbs is here. He's agricultural economist at the U of I to take a look at some of the numbers. What you find of most interest in this February event? Usually it's a pretty quiet kind of release from the United States Department of Agriculture.
The no change in the soybean supply and yeast tables, I think, might have surprised some people. They basically kept ending stocks the same and all the categories of supply and use constant from January. I think there's a lot of speculation that they may raise export numbers because we've seen such strong trade through January and February in soybean markets. But, and they stated in the Wiser report, they expect serious competition from South America as we move into the summer, and they don't expect the trade numbers to be like they were last year. And I think that may be a good assumption. We still might exceed the export numbers set by USDA, but I can understand not changing it. As far as corn, they raised ethanol use by 25 million bushels. I think a lot of people expected that. I expected that. We've seen corn being ground at record rates for ethanol production for almost 2.5 months. It's been an impressive performance by the ethanol industry. I think maybe the one surprising thing, they raised food seed and industrial use non-ethanol by 10 million bushels. On January 17th, they released the feed outlook, and when you look at the numbers, the categories were up in that area, high fructose corn syrup and glucose and dextrose and starch. So, you know, them raising it 10 million is probably a direct reflection of those use numbers from the first quarter of the marketing year. Internationally, they lowered Argentine soybean production by 1.5 million metric tons, which is, you know, approximately 60 million bushels. It's still not at the levels we're hearing reported out of South America. It's still around 2 million metric tons higher. There's a tendency for USDA to creep down to the numbers. So I think that was expected in the market. And I think that number is probably about where everybody thought they would go, or at least that's what I thought they would do, somewhere in that range. They didn't raise Brazilian soybean production, even though there's reports from CONAB this morning, was it 105.6 million metric tons? USDA's got it set at 104. We'll see as the crop year moves along, but I think there's upside for Brazilian soybean production based on what CONAB's saying and all the reports we've heard out of Brazil. Internationally, in the corn market, they raised Mexico's production. There's really good production out of the former Soviet Union. Ukraine's production was raised. But they pretty much kept everybody else stable. Brazil and Argentina's numbers did not change, despite what we're hearing in the soybean market. So there's a little action there, but not a lot of surprise, I don't think, from the report.
So overall, if you look at the global numbers, USDA dropped corn by about 135 million bushels. The soybeans were down, what, 71 million bushels, and wheat futures down 172 million bushels. Are there any of those numbers, and I'm thinking the wheat figure's kind of interesting, because even in the U.S. supply and demand figures, they dropped that wheat 47 million bushels, and the corn down 35 as well. I don't know how much support that might give to coarse grain stocks around the planet, if any. There's still an awfully big supply.
I didn't find a lot of support in the report for coarse grain stocks. The supply is large in the world, and we're seeing large wheat crops being taken in places like Russia and around the world. This is not just a United States driven market. The action's all on the use side, and what we see come out of South America production wise And I don't think that's going to change in the next month or two.
So kind of bottom lining this, and I'll only deal with soybeans because we've talked about this before. Most of the analysts that we talk with on the air, you as well, believe that producers, when they have an opportunity in the $10 range for new crop soybeans or above that at some points for old crop soybeans, should be taking advantage of those to make at least initial sales for soybeans on the new crop and to wrap up their sales for old crop. Is that still kind of remain the place where you stand?
It is. I still feel that way. There's a lot of uncertainty in South American production, but the crop in Brazil looks large. As you know, the Brazilian crop going to bid away from our exports? Are we going to see weakness in the price as the crops start coming in? And on top of all that, we're going to get the prospective plantings report next month, March 31st. We see how many acres of change we see for soybeans and corn in the United States. That could be a real shock to the price as well. So I think pricing in that range is, at least for some of the crop, maybe a good idea, especially if you're thinking about expanding acres in soybeans. I still feel that way.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Todd. We appreciate you coming down today.
Thank you.
That's University of Illinois agricultural economist Todd Hubbs. He specializes in commodity markets. You can read more from him each and every Monday afternoon in the Weekly Outlook on the Farm Doc Daily website. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. Let's check the cash grain market now with Matt Bennett. He's at Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds, but traveling today. You're way out west, I'm told, today. Where are you today, Matt?
Yeah, I actually started the week in Grand Forks, North Dakota, and I worked my way into South Dakota. I'm going to sneak night in Sioux Falls, and then I'll be heading home in the morning. So I've kind of been all over the Dakotas all week.
So the Wall Street Journal earlier in the week wrote a report based out of Kansas that things were in really bad condition and predicting some dire consequences. Have you gotten the feeling that producers out west in the areas you've been traveling in are hurting really quite a bit yet or not?
Actually, that's a very good point. I saw the same article, and I would have to agree with it. I talked to several producers, talked to people in the seed industry during this trip, and I know there's a lot of issues with garnering the financing this year. You know, you heard whispers of it last year, but it's just an overt conversation this year, and so there's no question that it's going on. I think there's a lot of concern. There's a lot of folks that are very worried about doing business with people on credit. So I know cash and carry is kind of something everyone's saying they're doing this year up in this part of the world.
And I've only got about 30 seconds. Have you been able to convince them to sell new crop soybeans in that picture?
Yeah, I mean, manage some risk, if nothing else. Sell a few bushels, put some floors under the other ones, and if it goes up, a good deal for you. But, you know, after the report today, I think that we didn't have any bullish, huge move, and I think people are going to understand the need to do this.
All right. Hey, thanks much, and good luck getting back home.
Hey, thanks, Todd. Appreciate it.
Matt Bennett is with Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Buy those tickets for the All-Day Ag Outlook. You can do that online at willag.org, willag.org. I'll give you a phone number to call, too, in just a bit. Now, let's turn our attention to Mike Tenura. He's at T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. You know, Mike, in South America, Argentina in particular, USDA lowering their output today by a bit. They've been on again, off again for rainfall. What do we see after this dry period they've had over the last couple, two or three weeks now?
Well, they're on again because it did rain fairly heavily last week in some of the drier southern areas that actually needed rain. But the problem that we might have going forward is that there's a lot more rain coming up once again to Argentina. The big difference this time will be that the axis of heavy rainfall focuses just a tiny bit to the north of where it was real wet earlier in January. But keep in mind that some of these areas that were excessively wet last month are going to see some decent rainfall over the next 10 days, probably 2 to 4 inches of rain, which is around half of what you would normally see in the month of February, and even more than that in some locations. So we think a strong argument can be made for another round or two of heavy rainfall in Argentina, and whether or not that becomes another yield or area reduction type of an issue will take time to determine. But we can say with fairly high confidence that these northern areas of Brazil are going to receive very heavy rainfall of 4 to 6 inches over the next 10 days. Some of those thunderstorms are forming right now. And then that area that was super wet in the central region, they'll receive again around 2 to 4 inches, with some of those areas off to the south then that are still maybe a little dry, though that's a tough argument to make based on some of the rainfall last week. They'll be a little bit drier with 1 to 2 inches. The whole point here, Todd, is that there's a lot of rain coming up for Argentina, and that story might not be over quite yet.
All right, and now take your attention and put it right on Brazil for me. What kind of conditions are they working under?
Well, parts of Brazil could use a little bit of rain, especially in the southern parts and into Paraguay. Now, they might be the beneficiary of this stormy pattern we're talking about in Argentina, because some of these areas in Paraguay and into southern Brazil will see heavy rainfall starting up tomorrow and then continuing on and off over the next 1 to 2 weeks. So that'll be something to keep in mind going forward, too. Once you head into the northern parts of Brazil, this is where soybeans are being harvested now, and we're also planting that second crop corn. Well, those areas have also been a little bit wet, and they'll stay wet going forward. Earlier this week, it looked like they would receive quite a bit of rainfall on the order of 5 to 10 inches. Today, probably more in the 4 to 8 inch range. That's still a lot of rain, though, because even though we like to talk about how much rain Brazil receives, these northern areas average around 8 to 10 inches per month at this time of the year. So we're looking at potentially that much rain over the next 10 days. So everywhere you look in Brazil, it's pretty much wet. Not normal to see everybody wet at the same time. It does happen on occasion, and that's certainly where we are today.
Anything else of interest that we should take up? El Nino, for instance.
Well, the Climate Prediction Center updated their El Nino forecast for the rest of the year earlier this morning. And what they're saying is that there is a chance for El Nino to develop later on this year and into 2018. Now, they increased the odds to 50%, which is a pretty sharp increase from where we were last month and earlier in 2016. If you look at some of the data, though, it just doesn't support a strong El Nino or much of any El Nino at this point in time. An average of a number of computer models show that it's more likely for neutral conditions to continue, which is what we have right now. And they even note in the text of their forecast that their level of certainty at this time of the year is always pretty low. So we think it's better at this point in time to plan on a continuation of neutral conditions as opposed to getting excited about the potential for another El Nino toward the end of this year. It'll take a little bit of time to put all this picture together. But again, at this point in time, it's a better bet to plan on neutral conditions as opposed to El Nino conditions, based on everything that we've looked at and what we've been thinking about over the last several months.
That's Mike Tenora with T-Storm Weather. Hey, don't forget to buy your tickets for the All-Day Ag Outlook, willag.org or 800-898-1065.